of our house, our hearts, man, that has been preached all over. I mean, up and down, back and forth. So you kind of know what the treasure of your heart is, or have some idea of what the definition of the treasure of your heart is. But this, God has a treasure too. What is it? The fear of the Lord. When you fear God and put Him enough to put Him first in your life, when you fear God enough to have Him, to think about Him when you're off doing things, doing what you do. There were a few things that even lost I did not do because my mom and dad said, if you did this, we'll kill you. They said that long before Bill Cosby said that. It's like, and then when Bill Cosby said, it's like, did he copy? Was he listening? Because they said, you do drugs, we'll kill you. You do this, we'll kill you. You do that, we'll kill you. And I believed them. I really did. And it worked out where I had a fear of them when I got older, because in high school, 11th grade, I was 6 foot, weighed 215 pounds, and could bench press about 350, 400 pounds. I was strong. And I hate being weak these days, though, I'll tell you that much. There's certain things my mind says, no, my body, my mind says, yeah, you can do that. And it's like, and the body says, hey, wait a minute, we're not, you know, 18 no more. We're not 15. You're not in high school. You haven't done that stuff, you know. And it's like, oh, when did I get so old? It happened. It just happened. It's like, wow. But still, the treasure of God is the fear of the Lord. When you have the fear, that awesome reverence toward Him, that you are loath to do anything that would jeopardize your relationship. Okay? And yet, and remember, Isaiah comes before Haggai, and the people in Haggai's time said, hey, it's not time, it's not time, we don't want to disturb the king, you know, it's not time, even though my house is done, it's warm, I've got all the cracks filled so that way the wind doesn't come in, you know. Everything's, you know, insulated and stuff. It's like, oh, wait a minute, what happened to Isaiah's words? The fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. What happened to the book of Proverbs that when these guys read twice, a couple times the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay? And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. Do we not need stability in our life now more than ever? We discussed some things yesterday, talked about some things yesterday at the breakfast. It looks like a pretty dire strait, doesn't it? And then we brought up the verse, but these things are going to wax worse and worse. So it's like, oh man, do we not then need stability? It used to be the Christian and private schools were forbidden by the government to mess around with. They're on the brink, Washington State's on the brink of doing that, messing around with private schools. Okay. There used to be a thing where churches were forbidden for the governments to mess around with. It's in the Constitution. Okay, separation of church and government. That's in the Constitution. The other one isn't. No, that's not, is it? That one's in one of the letters. But, you know, it's a precedent where there shall not be anything on the church to start a church, or by the state to start a church, to start a religion of their own to worship. And yet in Texas, and a couple of years ago when I did Sunday school, I brought this out, I brought the little article that I got from online that said that in El Paso and Houston and in areas like that, they were starting to pass ordinances of what the preachers could not preach against and what they could preach on. To the fact that, and I can't remember what city it was, that the preachers were supposed to give their sermons to the city council to make sure it was okay. And if they didn't like anything, they'd redact it. They'd, you know, cross us. You can't preach this, you can't preach that. Pretty soon, out of, you know, so many pages, you know, they're left with a little paragraph of stuff you can preach on. And then we think of, oh, the individualistic guys we are, we tend to think of, well, we're not going to do what they say. We're going to be just like Peter, who told the government, you know, do you want us to do what you said or what God said? You know, Peter didn't say it that way. Peter did not put an attitude into that. We like our individuals, so we're going to stick up for our individual rights and freedoms. No. Peter went far beyond that, and he said, you judge in your mind, which is better, for us to follow God or to follow you? Where do you think Peter got that from? Book of Daniel. You know, the three Hebrew men, sorry, O king, we respect you, but we're not going to bow to you or any other idol you set up. Okay. If God saves us from the fire, amen. If he doesn't save us from the fire, amen. And we know what happened after that. We know the rest of the story. But how about the statement? Even Peter. We know what God wants us to do. I will follow that because we love God first. He is the treasure of our heart. He is the thing here that makes us wake up in the morning with gladness and rejoicing. He's that thing that makes us, when we come to church, have true fellowship one with another. He's that part of my life that I can no longer be without. Not just because I'm saved, not just because, oh, it's the blessings of God and all this stuff. No, an attitude like that is far beneath the relationship God has called us to. To love God because he loved you first. To love others as you love yourself because God loved them too. As much as he loved you. Okay? Matthew chapter 6:21. This is where we were. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we all know that. I don't know why so many times preachers come up and they have to preach that and explain things to us. But we know that. We know those things that we put a value in. That's what we have affection toward. Isn't it? I got fishing poles. I got a fishing boat. I have affection toward that. I like fishing. I like to eat fish too. Okay? Fish is good. I like it. But still, my affection toward that has got to tone down and be more affection toward God and the things of God. Those things that God considers valuable. And what are those things that God considers valuable? Like I said, you all know what you value in your heart. Okay? I don't have to sit here and try to explain it, make a list. Because every time I make a list, people just follow that list. And anything that's not directly on and explicitly on that list, they say, oh, there's it's okay. Nah, let's not play that game. Okay, but what things are valuable to God's heart? Your faith is valuable. Tried and purified. This is what God considers gold, a precious thing in God's sight. Okay. Your love he considers precious because your love is voluntary. The angel's love, it's not voluntary. They don't have much of a choice. They either worship or they reject. And we know that one of them rejected. God made him prettier than all the other angels, prettier than any creation he ever created, made him more beautiful, made him with special abilities. The music that at one time in heaven pleased God, he said, look, without me, God's nothing. I will ascend my throne above this. I will do this. I will do that. And he was kicked out of heaven. Okay. It wasn't much of a fight. Michael come up, going to do a war in heaven. And then Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. And here he goes. Satan's kicked out of heaven. Yeah, not much of a fight. But the treasure of God is you, so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you. Remember that, children, next time you want to rebel against your parents. Remember that, parents, the next time you want to get all over your kids. Remember that, adults, as we go travel about, when we are at odds with somebody, God loved that person too. Enough where he died for that person. God loved that person. So that now you're an heir with Christ with that person that you hate. And this is why it's so important we understand, like in the book of in the Beatitudes, in the book of Matthew. If you call your brother a fool, that's because you hate him. Okay? That's the tense of that verb. Fool! You have just put forth a curse toward that person. He may be a fool, I don't know, but that's not the point. The point is your attitude toward that person. And you better be careful because you're in danger of hellfire. Okay? You going to die and go to hell safe? No, I don't think so. But there's another thing out there that you being under the judgment of God in this life, that's terrible. That's terrible. We have to watch out for. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where God's treasure is, that's his love is going to be there. Luke 12, we made it that far. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. Life is more than meat, and body more than raiment. For some people, no, it's not. Anybody watch some of these reality shows? I can't. I just see the commercials and it's like, it's like, you're kidding me. Some of these reality shows where people do all this stuff and the fashions, it's like, fashion? Every year, millions of models starve themselves and hurt their body to such a point just to fit into a size whatever garment to get a picture. And that's how important. The garment industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. Fashion. Man, some fashion, it's like, you got to be kidding me. That's like, that's terrible. Some of the fashion these gals in the street these days, people, men, women, wear or don't wear, it's like, it's amazing. I'm walking down, you know, I'm driving down the street, and I'm really concentrating on traffic, especially through the downtown corridor and everything. And all of a sudden, I hear one of my passengers say, oh, my, what? That woman over there. Oh, no. It's like, yeah. It's like, you're kidding me. Oh, it's considered fashionable. Okay. There's a whole section in the Bible devoted to women's fashions and bringing it inside the church. They say, don't do it. Why? Because some of that's immodest, and we need to be modest in the church. And I'll carry that over to men. There are men's fashions and stuff out there that are very immodest that should not be carried on into the church, that men and women should know how to dress modestly, body covered so as not to evoke any feelings. Okay? Body covered. You know, and they say, well, why is it important? Well, God considers it important. Okay? It's taken me 40-some-odd years to change my mind to some things. It's like, yeah, God considers it important. Did you know it was important enough? And this you may think, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it does if you think about it. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they were camping, God said, this is the way you set up the camp. These people here, these people here, these people here, these people here, the ark over here or whatever, you know, over there. Set it up in a certain way. Okay. I don't mean to be crude. And as far as your excrement has to do, you're going to take it, put it in a jar, and then take it, dump it outside the camp. You think, where'd you get that from? I read it in the Bible. Because, he says, I'm going to walk through the camp, and you never know when it's going to happen. I'm going to walk through the camp at night. I'm going to enjoy some quiet time with my people. You guys may be all asleep and stuff. And the last thing I want to do is see that. Wow, God. God. There are some things that God does not want to see. And there are things in the Bible he considers an abomination, things that he hates, that he doesn't want to see among his people. So now, as in the book of Haggai, consider your ways. What ways do I have that prevent God and I from having a good relationship that he does not want to see in my life? Is there any excrement that I have floating around in my life that I need to get rid of and take it outside the camp and dispose of it properly? I've heard people say, well, God knew that if they just, you know, wherever, it would cause all kinds of diseases. No, God says specifically, I want you to put that outside the camp. Because I don't want to see it among my people. He does not want to see any of our flippant attitudes among his people. That's why I think it's all the more important that we stop and realize when Paul was teaching on the Lord's Supper, and he says, don't you guys have enough care for each other that you're going to stop and wait till you take the Lord's Supper together? And it's going to be a certain thing. It's going to have the, you know, the blood of the grape, and it's going to have unleavened bread. It's going to do this stuff. Or, and he puts this verse in there, or despise ye the church of the Lord. Do you consider the Lord's church, his house, his stuff, so low that you are arrogant against it? And you're going to come and indulge yourself and get drunk and just have a merry old time? Oh, in the house of God. I hate that stuff. Get it out of my house. Take it outside the camp and dispose of it properly. Yeah, Luke 12:22. Take no thought for your life, what you should eat, neither for the body, what shape you should put on. I know there's sometimes before, I don't know, special holidays, you consider what to have, Thanksgiving being number one. You know, what do you have? I mean, you have turkey, you can have chicken pot pie. Yeah, I think we'll go with the turkey. One year we had venison. I got a deer and I cut the whole one side off. And we had a whole slab of ribs. Had the back strap attached to it and everything. Man, it was good. It was great. It's like, wow. That's sometimes a consideration we put into what we eat, isn't it? Everybody on a special diet, they really consider what they eat. Pastor says, man, I can't eat tomatoes. Not even fried green tomatoes? I love fried green tomatoes. It's like, yeah. With cornbread frying on the outside, it's like, yeah, that's good stuff. It is. Life is more than meat, verse 23. And the body is more than raiment. Do you think Christ came down on this earth to die for what you put on? Do you think Christ came and died on this earth for what you eat? Sometimes when you talk to people, that's what they think. No. When you come to church, you got to wear I remember one preacher preaching this. You got to wear a three-piece suit. That was his minimum requirement for men's dress. A three-piece suit and your hair high and tight. If you don't know what high and tight is, it's above high and tight, Dirk. Above the ears, everything squared off, squared in the back, not rounded in the back. He went not rounded. Because when you cut the back of his hair, you can just square it off or round it. I like it mine rounded. I don't know. I always have. And he preached that. It's like, so I've been dressing ungodly all these days, all these years? You know? You're lucky you got me in a suit coat and a tie. And it wasn't your doing, Pastor, preacher. It was God's doing. Okay? You're lucky my hair is way off my neck. In football, we had to keep it cut short because if you let it get below the helmet, your enemy, the other guys can grab it and, you know, and they got control over you. But life is more than meat, body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. I asked you guys a couple of weeks ago to consider the ravens and just think about that. Ravens are basically giant crows. Giant crows, yeah. Big crows, and it's like, well, why do I have to consider that? Consider this. They neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouses or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than fowls? It's considering this stuff. God takes care of them. Heck, we figure if we don't get up and go do stuff and we earn a paycheck or do whatever, our life is just meaningless. Well, no. God came and died for you, not because you did stuff, not because of your success in businesses, not because that you're successful in life or in your marriage, not because you got 100 kids. I've heard that preached from the pulpit too. My quiver is full of them. And this guy had a bunch of, he had a bunch of kids. We only had two at the time. And we basically, his wife looked down at us because we only had two. We stopped at two. Okay. And consider these ravens. They don't do any of the stuff that we think is important. And yet God takes care of them. And then he asks this question, and part of this consideration, how much more value are you than these stupid birds? A little bit more value? A lot more value? It's God. And which of you, by taking thought, can add to the stature one cubit? There have been times I wish I was taller. Seriously. Okay? I don't know. I just, there are times in my life I wish, man, if I could be 6 inches taller, life would be perfect. Nah, life would still be life. There's problems with being tall, too. You know, you can't find stuff to fit your arms. You know? Can't find stuff to fit your legs, right? You know, when you're tall. I have shrunk over my life. I am shorter than I was when I was in high school. It's like, I am short. Of course, it's like that much shorter, 3/4 of an inch maybe, an inch. It's like, yeah, I'm only 5'11", now not 6 foot. I'm short, I'm old. It's like, oh. But by what means can you, by thinking and concentrating and working hard at it, you can get on that Dieter machine and turn yourself upside down and it'll stretch your spine and get you, it won't get you any longer though. We used to take a fishing boat out of Southern California and into the kelp beds there. And white bass you could catch, black bass you can't catch. White bass have to be 24 inches long, okay? So the guys, they'd bring it up without hurting it, if you were catching the one, and they'd put it on this ruler. And if it was just a little short, they'd step on the tail and make that puppy longer. Now it's legal. They stretch out the spine, and it causes death immediately. If they didn't make it legal, it's like, oh man. But now it's legal. Don't do that. You will die. It will cripple you, okay? Don't have somebody do that and then try to stretch that out to make you taller. It ain't going to happen. Consider the lilies. Oh, 26. If you then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take thought for the rest? If you can't make yourself taller, why do you think you could do it doing something else? You know. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. Lilies don't even move. Did you know that? They just grow where they're planted. Don't they? Oh, there is a little, you know, poster. Grow where you're planted. Grow where God plants you. Well, that's great because, you know, like the lilies, if you consider them, they don't move. They toil not. They spin not. And yet, I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And here's the accusation, O ye of little faith. Okay? O ye of little fear of God. Okay, because fear of God leads to faith. how much more will he clothe you? I like lilies. Lilies are pretty. This year, it seems like a lot of people had more time on their hand, I guess, anyway. There's a lot more gardens in front yards. I mean, there's just flowers that are small, flowers that are tall, all like arranged and very pretty. I have traveled from one end of the Canada to the other. It's like, man, there are a bunch of those things, and they're very pretty. And yet, God loves you more than flowers. We go out. You guys got a picture of being up on Pikes Peak in the overpass and looking at that. Man, that's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. Man, we were in a spot the other day. I forget what road it was on. We come over the hill and we saw the entire valley. I said, wow, that's pretty, except for all the smog and you can't see Mount Spokane. It's like, wow, that's pretty. And my pastor says, wow, it is pretty, but I didn't know it was so smoky out. Otherwise, I'd have brought my oxygen. It's like, yeah, better think of these things. But whatever view you can think of, I've been hunting and crested a little hill. And man, there's just a valley, and it's just beautiful. The time of year when the tamarack is changing and the alder is changing and birch trees, it's like, man, it is beautiful. You guys probably seen the same thing out hunting. Man, you come over the hill, it's just gorgeous, this little valley. Maybe sometimes you get a little crest of a hill for the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene River, and it was just beautiful. The little river and everything all growing up, and the sun was there. It was like, that's gorgeous. That's picture perfect. No matter how beautiful that is, God's taking care of it. They don't have to do anything. And neither do you. Because God says, I love you, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Ask not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. Again, going back to the little faith, being doubtful. Being doubtful of what? That God will take care of you. Don't worry about it. God will take care of you. In this day and age, God will still take care of you. And even though, like Paul said, we're going to face death here soon, God will still take care of me. I am caught between two things, Paul says. Whether to stay on this earth and minister to you, so that way your faith will grow, or just be killed and be in heaven. Wow. Think about that. When you stop and really think about that, Paul says, I could be in heaven right now with Jesus, with God. But I think I'd rather stay here and help you guys. How is that? Paul's love and the love. Seek not what you shall eat or drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind, for all these things so do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added to you. Well, what do I have to do? Well, you don't have to do anything to seek the kingdom of God. You don't have to get up here, go out to the desert. You don't have to get from here and go out to the mountains. You don't have to go meditate on a lake. You don't have to do all it. All you got to do is sit there and commune with God. No, I got to do something. No, you don't. Sit and commune with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And all these things, he says, will be added unto you. Seek me first, my stuff first. And all these other things, wow, all these other things will be added. And when you stop and think of it, it ought to stagger our minds. You mean I'm going to wind up with clothes? Yeah. I'm going to wind up with a raiment? Yeah. I'm going to wind up with a house? Yeah. And this and this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you got to seek me first in faith, not doubting. Seek me first in love. Seek me first above all else, above yourself. That's hard to do. It is. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of sin. Sometimes Sometimes when we're faced with that moment of either sticking to our stuff or going over to God's side, sometimes when we're faced with that thing, when we're faced with having to get rid of a sin, this particular sin that has been plaguing us, sometimes we like to hold on to it because we think, well, what am I going to be? Who am I going to be after that? You're going to be a child of God. You're going to be a beloved child of God. How's that? But sometimes we're afraid to do stuff because, well, what am I going to be after that? I'm afraid I'll lose myself. Very good, because God says, you are not you anymore. It is my will that you be conformed to the Son. That you be my child, not yours. Okay, you be my child and not your king. Oh, but I think I'd rather be king of my own life. Nah, it doesn't work, does it? That's what God's pointing out, or Jesus is pointing out, God is pointing this out. Consider these things, the lilies, the ravens. Consider your life. Consider. Stop and think. What can you do to change it? I don't know. Some things I do, it's like that makes it worse. There's medications. There's stuff out there to help this portion of your to take supplements that you take. Take this, it'll make you better. Take this, it'll make you this, and this, and this. It's got the little asterisk. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. So you think, well, I'll add this to my diet. Fish oil. Fish oil is supposed to be a good thing, isn't it? It messes with my blood sugar numbers. How's that? So wait a minute, this is supposed to be good for me. Yeah, well, it's not for you. It's like, and other things. Remember Fen-Phen? It was something that people take, lose weight, get in shape. Remember that? Oh, okay. I'm old. I'm dating myself. You don't remember it either? Oh, you remember it. Well, you could encourage me, say, I remember that. People died from that. Screwed up their heart. Gave them heart attacks. And it's good for you? Oh, they had to take it off the market. Ah. Don't be afraid. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth doth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I'm not going to be as bold as other preachers to sell all that you got and give to the Lord. The guy's on TV, sell all that you have and give me 100% of it, and I guarantee God will give you 110 back. Hey man, you're a pretty good investment counselor, because no investment counselor will say that. It's like, yeah, at the most you're good for 12%. Otherwise, it's like 1% a year. It's like, oh man, that's pretty sad. God knows what you have need of. I'm not going to tell you to sell things, but I am going to tell you to consider this. In all this considering. Considering that you all consider yourself to have already sold it. That's what this item means to you. I've already sold it. We got poor, desperate ones. God, I think, was teaching me a lesson, but my wife had to be involved in it. Where we had to pawn all of my guns. There was a lot. Okay. And then we lost them in the pawn. Yeah. It's like, man. But God was teaching me a lesson. That stuff's not important. It's not. That stuff's not important. He is. God is the important one. God will take care of you. And it's funny. Yeah, I sold the stuff, got money, still couldn't pay my bills. It's like, oh man. So it's like, that didn't do me any good. But still, it's where is your treasure? Consider. Consider yourself. Consider the birds of the field, the lilies. Consider who you are and fear not. Do not be afraid. considering all your stuff is gone and in God's hand. Thank you. I'm running a little bit late here. Sorry. I don't mean to interrupt your conversations by yelling at you, but all right, we're dismissed. Sorry about that. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for all things that you've given.